Going to share a line from the hymn that the pastor picked. Verse 2 of the hymn we sang, In My Heart. I remember how my longing heart was searching everywhere to discover what would take my guilt away. Then I heard that Christ, the Saviour, all my sins himself did bear, and the Spirit drew me to him that glad day. Praise the Lord for that. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Before we do, let's just pray and commit our time to the Lord. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be able to gather in a place where the focus is the Lord Jesus and the Word of God. Lord, all over this planet right now, people are focused on a million other things. Lord, as we learnt this morning, you said, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so, Lord, we come by your grace. Lord, as you have drawn us in the past to yourself and, Lord, showed us that you are the one true God and given us the privilege to become your children. So we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus, centered around the Word of God, the precious living Word of God. And, Lord, we look to you expectantly tonight to see what you will teach us by your Spirit out of the wonderful words of life. Father, I pray that you would take the mouth of the preacher and that you would use it as your tool tonight to bring honour and glory and praise to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Turn with me in your Bible to Revelation chapter 5. After the message, Pastor's going to come and preside over communion, so I think it's a good idea for us to... There's plenty of subject matter to use along the lines of communion, so that's the sort of theme we're going to be looking at tonight. Pastor said that there's a lot of churches, or most churches, you don't hear about creation. Well, that's not the case, because we know whenever Floyd preaches, that's what he talks about. Pastor talked about the Ten Commandments this morning, and you're certainly going to hear the gospel tonight. So, not to be boastful, but I am thankful that that condemnation doesn't fall on us here by the grace of God. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 7, And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. I've been thinking lately about the fact that the central point or the central focus of this scene in heaven in the book of Revelation, in this chapter we read, is the Lamb of God, who we know to be the Lord Jesus. But when we note something significant there, that he is still the Lamb that was slain. And when we think about the wounds upon the Lamb as an eternal, constant reminder of our purchased redemption from sin and our eternal redemption from the slave market of sin and the bondage of sin and the misery of sin. You know, people think of heaven as a perfect place, and it will be, but there will be one mar there, and that will be the wounds of the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. To look at the history of this lamb, we need to go back to Exodus, to the Passover, to the original Passover. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. I'm going to share something here which you may well have heard before. I've heard pastors speak about this very thing, but I think it's good for us to remind ourselves of a few things here tonight. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1, we'll read down to verse 30. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next to unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, that when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood on the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when you come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That you shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. See this solemn picture of the Lord judging the nation of Egypt for holding the children of Israel in bondage, that he might deliver his children out of the land of bondage that he's promised. When we look at this, there's some fascinating things in the first part of this passage. We see that in verse 3, and pastors talked to us about this before, he says, Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. A lamb. And you know, the world knows about a lamb. Okay? The world knows about a Lord Jesus. But it's not enough for us just to know about a Lord Jesus. We see that as he goes down, he says in verse 4, "And if the household be too little for the Lamb." And now we're getting a bit more personal. The Lamb. It's not just a Lamb, it's the Lamb. It was the Lamb that those people identified with. It was becoming more personal. And it's not enough for us just to know about a lamb. It's not even enough for us to know about the lamb. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth." Sorry, the truth and the light. "And no man comes to the Father but by me." But it's not enough for us to know that. It's not enough for us to know that. He goes on in verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." Now, you might know all about the Lord Jesus, but is the Lord Jesus your lamb? Is the Lord Jesus' blood covered you and covered your sin? So that when the angel of death passes over you, the pastor reminded us about the Psalm 23, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil." Why? Because the blood of the Lamb means that the angel of death will pass over me. And so we see a picture here, a graphic picture of how the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, protects the sinner from the angel of death and from the judgment of sin. And so we see that it's interesting that Moses commanded that they continue to do this throughout all their generations. And when we think about the Lord's Supper was instituted at the Passover. The Lord Jesus took the Passover cup, the blood that was to remind them of their deliverance from the bondage of Egypt for time immemorial. And he took that and he said, "This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is given for you for the remission of sin." And so we see there one of the origins of the Lamb, and then we see, you know, in Revelation, the culmination of all things, with the Lamb that was slain sitting on the throne. You know, we see these pictures, and it's important for us to understand that it's not just enough for us to know about a Lamb. It's not just enough for us to know about the Lamb, but we need to have our Lamb. It needs to be ours. We need to own the Lord Jesus. When the priests used to receive the offerings, the burnt offerings, the bringers would bring the lamb and they would place their hands on the head of the lamb, identifying, "I am guilty and this lamb is innocent and this lamb's blood will cover my sin." Have you placed your hands on the Lord Jesus? You might have been coming to church all your life. Have you ever placed your hands upon the Lord Jesus and said, "He is my lamb"? You need to do that. You need to do that. There's another picture we see in the Old Testament with regards to the Lord Jesus. If you want to turn with me to Numbers 21. Now, this isn't a lamb, but yet a picture of the Lord Jesus. Numbers 21, verse 4, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread.' And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away these serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You know, in John chapter 3, we know very well the verses, "For God so loved the world." But just a couple of verses before that, we read, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Now, what can we learn from this serpent in relation to the Lord Jesus and the salvation that is in Christ? Well, the people, for whatever reason the plague came. And because the people disobeyed God, and the plague came. And so these people, when they were bitten, were in a place where they were going to die. But Moses erected under the instruction of God this serpent and put it in the middle of the camp, so that when the serpents came and bit somebody, all they had to do was look. Just look at the statue, and they lived. How much more simple could it be? Surely something else. Surely they had to do something else. No, just look and live. Now, what was so amazing about that look that gave them life? It was faith. If you were in that place and you realized the peril and you realized the danger that you were in, that the snakes had bitten you and you were going to die, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be very far away from that statue. I mean, I don't think I'd take my eyes off it. Why? Because all my faith, all my hope, any hope that I had was to look at that statue, that I might live, that I might be saved from the plague, that I might be delivered from the serpents. Now, that's faith. What was I doing? I was having faith in that statue. And in the same way, we are all stung by the bite of sin. Okay, we can say that those serpents are like the sin that has hold of us when we're not saved. The sin that has hold of us from the day we're born. The Bible says that we're born dead in trespass and sin. Every single one of us. And unless we come to a place where, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man had to be lifted up that he might draw all men to himself. Every single man, woman, and child on the face of this earth is afflicted with the bondage of sin, with the disease, with the sickness of sin. And unless they look with faith to the Lord Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, they're going to be lost. They're going to be lost for eternity. The only way is for us to place our faith and hope and trust in the Lord Jesus to deliver us from the bondage of our sin. It's so simple. You know, it's much more than just a belief. It's much more than just, "Oh, I've been bitten. I know that there's a snake I know that there's a statue. And if I look at it, I'm not going to die." "Well, go and look. You're going to die." "No, it's all right. It's enough. I know that there is one." And then they just would have sat there and died on the ground because they didn't go and they didn't exercise true saving faith in looking to the statue. And if we don't exercise true saving faith in looking to the Lamb of God as a remedy for our sin, we'll be lost for eternity. And so as we remember the blood of the Lord Jesus, the blood of the perfect Lamb of God that was poured out for us, the only way to purchase us back from the slave market of sin. And so we see these pictures in the Old Testament. Joel shared from Ephesians chapter 2 his testimony tonight. And it is a blessing to think that in the ages to come, and it's going to take God so long to show us all the wonderful things that he has done. You know, we give testimony of the blessings of God, but we just have no idea of how many blessings he pours out upon us. We take them for granted. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 1. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. When we read there, hath he quickened, it means that he made us alive. We were dead. We were dead, eternally dead. And he's made us alive through the death of the Lamb of God. Is he your lamb? He needs to be my lamb. He needs to be your lamb, not just a lamb, not just the lamb. We need to look to him. You has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. And every single one of us that's born is a child of wrath, where we are eternally dead from the moment we're born. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So we were dead. We were children of wrath. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And so unless there is a supernatural work of God in the soul of any man, woman, or child, they will be eternally lost. You know, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 16, Moses reading out the law to the children of Israel, he said, the fathers shall not be put to death for their children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. And he was talking about sinning against the law. Sins that were worthy of death, that a father wouldn't die for his son and a son wouldn't die for his father, but every man would die for his own sin. And it's the same in the spiritual realm, that every single one of us will die for our own sin unless we accept the sacrifice that Christ has made in dying for our sin. We need each one of us to make a decision with regards to this. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us that who his own self, the Lord Jesus, his own self, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So we see there that we were healed by his stripes. We were healed by his suffering. Healed from what? Healed by the plague of sin. Because when we look to him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, when we look to him, we saw healing. We received healing from sin. We received forgiveness of sin. We received redemption. He brought us back from slavery. But it was the only way. He made us alive when we were dead. Colossians 2:13 says, and you, being dead in your sins and your uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. He's made us alive. The Lamb of God made us alive. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So we see there that Christ suffered for our sin, the just for the unjust, the innocent lamb for the guilty sinner. Is he your lamb? Hebrews 9:27 tells us that as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. You know, we all have an appointment with the undertaker, every single one of us. You know, you might have an appointment this week with somebody and you can ring up and you can say, you know what, I'm busy Tuesday, let's make it Thursday. We all have an appointment that we cannot change. The Lord knows our days. He knows our frame. He knows the day when we're going to step from this life into eternity. And we can't change the appointment. Is he your lamb? Are your sins paid for? Are your sins covered? It's not enough to go to church. It's not enough to read the Bible. It's not enough to sing the songs. It's not enough to pray the prayers. It's not enough to know about the lamb. Is he your lamb? You know, there's no good reason not to come to the Saviour. There's no good reason. You know, if you could take every sinner and you could dangle them over hell so that they could see what it was like, do you know no sinner in their right mind would say, I want to go there. I want to suffer for eternity in the flames of hell. Although there's been a payment made for me, although the ransom's been paid, although the punishment's already been taken away, someone else took it, but I want to go and pay for it myself. You know, the only reason a sinner does that is because he wants to live the sinful pleasure that he can on this life before he passes into eternity. But you know, it's like maxing out the credit card. One day the bill's going to come and you've got to pay it. You know, Moses could have had everything. Moses could have had all of the riches of Egypt. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter in Pharaoh's house. But you know what? He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt for a season, for a short time. And it's a picture of the Christian making the decision, I'm not interested in the vain things that this world has to offer. I want what's going to last for eternity. You know, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. You might not realize how long eternity is, but it's forever and ever and ever. The Lord Jesus said in John 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, Peter preaching said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, there's religions that are teaching that you can't know where you're going to go when you die until after you're dead. Do you know the Catholic Church says that? The Jehovah's Witnesses say it. Other false cults say it. Other denominations say it. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The Lord Jesus didn't doubt about it. The Lord Jesus wasn't wondering. He didn't sound like he was wavering or wasn't sure to me. And Peter was sure too. He said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't just mean pray a prayer. It means look. Look to the serpent. Look to the Lamb of God and be healed. Spiritually healed from your sin. Saved from the penalty of sin. In Acts chapter 16... Paul talking to the Philippian jailer, Acts chapter 16 and verse 27. After Paul and Silas were singing songs at the top of their lungs in prison, as you do, because it's such a happy place, they had the Lord in their heart and they couldn't shut up about it. They were rejoicing. And so the doors of the prison burst open and the prison keeper was worried because he thought all the prisoners had got out and he was going to kill himself. Because he thought, I'll do it before my boss does. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and he sprang in. And he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Look to the Lamb of God. Make him your lamb, and you will be saved. There's no good reason not to make the Lord Jesus your lamb. There's no good reason. We read the last passage I want to share tonight is Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. And Paul writes there to the Romans, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." What do we see here? We see that it's not obviously just enough to believe that there is a Lamb. He needs to be our Lamb. He says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we say to people, we say to ourselves and we say to other people, "He's my Lamb. He's the only Lamb. He's my Lamb. He's been slain for me. He's taken all my sin. I'm healed from sin because of my Lamb. The Lord Jesus is my Lamb. Is he yours?" That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, salvation is a sure thing. If you've been in Hebrews with us in the studies, you've heard us say over and over and over again, once we are saved, once we have eternal life, once we are sealed with the Holy Spirit because we have believed on the Lamb of God, no one's ever taking that away. No one is ever taking that away. Eternal life is exactly what it says, eternal life. It lasts forever. It's not something we can lose. It's not based on what we can do. It's based only on the Lamb and his sacrifice for our sin. That he's made us alive through his death, through his blood, through his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And so we're going to see one day in heaven when we stand there and we see the throne, in the midst of the throne, the Lamb that was slain, sitting on the throne. And you know, he's either going to be your Lamb or he's going to be your condemner. Because he's going to be the very one that all men, women, and women, and the small and great, we read this morning that even the sea is going to give up the dead which is in them. And hell and death are going to be delivered up and to stand before the throne of God and stand before God and be judged. Why would you want to be judged for your sin when Jesus was already judged for it? And all you need to do is look to him and say, and realize that he is your Lamb, that he died for you, that if you call upon him and you look to him and you say, "Lord Jesus, save me from my sin," that you can be saved today. Like I said, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter if your parents have been Christians as long as you can remember. It doesn't matter if your dad's a preacher or your mum's a Sunday school teacher. It doesn't mean you're a Christian. If you ever come to the place where you've sat down in your heart of hearts and you've said, "Jesus is my Lamb," you need to ask yourself the question, the most important question that you can ever ask yourself. It's the question that needs to be answered. Don't sit here in church just ha ha ho hum, the preacher's banging on again, more Bible, I've heard it all before. You know, just because you're young doesn't mean you're not going to die. You could die tomorrow, you could die next week. The grave's full of, the cemetery's full of graves this big and this big. There's no guarantees. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. But Christ was once offered to bear your sin. So look to him, call upon him, and you will be saved.